You're listening to FMGRadio.com.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Janice Stanger, author, educator, and health industry expert. Her mission in writing The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with 6 Kinds of Whole Foods, is to help people and the planet through a whole food, plant-based diet. She spent 14 years critically analyzing scientific findings until perfecting the whole food discoveries she wants to share with you now. Janice has a PhD in human development and aging from the University of California, San Francisco. She is certified in plant-based nutrition through the T. Colin Campbell Foundation and eCornell. She also has an MBA from the University of California, Berkeley. More information is available at www.perfectformuladiet.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Janice, and I look forward to hearing about losing weight with whole food.
Thanks. I'm delighted to be here, Carl.
Thank you, Janice. First, what is a whole food plant-based diet, and why is this eating plan best for your health?
Well, whole food plant-based diets are becoming increasingly popular. People might have seen them in the film Forks Over Knives, or they might have heard Bill Clinton talk about them on CNN when he's been interviewed several times about how he's lost so much weight and gotten all his health problems under control. But basically, these are diets that are based on whole plant foods. And the whole plant foods people eat include vegetables and fruits, of course. Most people would think of that. But they also include beans, they include potatoes, they include whole grains, which would be things like, you know, whole wheat, oatmeal, quinoa, corn, brown rice, things like that. They include nuts and seeds, and they include herbs and spices, so there's lots of really good things for people to eat. So that's the basics of the diet. There's a lot of different variations of the diet because some people will emphasize some whole foods over others, but basically they all include components of all those kinds of foods. And the thing about a whole food plant-based diet is you're kind of working with your body. You're getting rid, first off, of the manufactured foods, which are things like, you know, refined sugars, refined oils, candy and cookies and cake and white bread, white rice, you know, all the kind of things that pretty much everybody knows aren't good for them. And that's pretty common knowledge. And you also can get rid of animal foods, which are also not healthy, even though most people think they are. So the reason this eating plan's best for your health is that you're working with your body. So when you kind of get out of your own way and you let nature, who, you know, perfectly designs each one of us, do her job, which is to have us thrive in good health well into old age and to be healthy because your body wants to be healthy, then you're going to naturally, first off, you're going to flow to your perfect weight, which is going to be a body mass index most likely between 20 and 23. And you'll just kind of fall to that level at about a pound or two a week if you need to lose weight. If you don't need to lose weight, you'll just stay the way you are. And then also, you know, you can find, and again, this is documented of Forks Over Knives and many other research studies, including Dean Ornish, who was the first to publish on this, you can actually reverse chronic disease. So you can reverse cardiovascular disease. That's the big one. You can reverse diabetes type 2, and very often you can reverse other diseases, inflammatory diseases such as headaches, sinusitis, arthritis, depression, things that are based on chronic inflammation can really be alleviated by a whole food plant-based diet.
Then, Janice, what nutritional myths commonly keep people from eating a whole food plant-based diet?
Well, the myths really, a lot of them have to do with deprivation, that you're going to not be getting something that you need. But think of it this way. Plants are the basis of the food chain on planet Earth. which means basically plants are out there and they don't need to eat anything. They're just kind of growing in the soil, which is not, you know, by itself a living thing. It's like, you know, rocks and other organic matter, but they're growing in it. They're not actually eating anything. And they're using water and air and the energy from the sun to make food and to survive and to reproduce and all the great things every living thing has to do. Animals survive by eating plants, either directly or indirectly. Either they eat plants directly or they eat animals that ate plants. So plants are the base of the food chain. And so, you know, if you're looking at getting what you need when you're concerned about deprivation, you have to look at where did all this came from. It came from plants.
Mm-hmm.
The plants made the nutrients to begin with or extracted them from the soil. Animals basically are nutrient consumers, which means animals eat their food and they consume them. So whatever they're eating, let's say they're eating a plant, the good stuff in the plant, like the fiber and most of the calories, actually the minerals, the vitamins, you know, pretty much everything that's in that plant that's good gets used up by the animal. The animal uses it for its own metabolism or burns it for fuel. And then what's left is just a tiny fraction of what you started out with in this whole gorgeous plant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of myths of deprivation out there or that certain plants are harmful, almost all of which are wrong and not documented by published research.
Right, yeah. Janice, on a whole foods plant-based diet, where would you get protein?
You know, this is one of the more common myths, so I'm really glad you asked me about this, Carl, because here's the thing about protein. You actually don't need any protein. What you need is amino acids to put your own protein together. And what amino acids are is the little links in the protein chain. So there's 20 amino acids that make up all protein of all living things, whether they're plants or animals. They use the same 20 amino acids. And then each individual, whether it's a plant or a rabbit or a person or an elephant or whatever it is going to build their own proteins from these amino acids. And there's many kinds of proteins. Nobody knows how many proteins even are in the human body, but it's probably somewhere between the hundreds of thousands and a million because there's, you know, so many of these kinds of proteins you can build from all these amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
So you then have to look at, well, where did the amino acids come from? Well, it turns out of the 20 kinds for healthy adult humans, there's 12 they can make on their own, so they don't even need to eat them or worry about them or anything because their body's just going to make them. And then there's 8 they do need from diet, so we have to be sure to get those 8 that we need. So you then have to ask, well, where do these 8 essential amino acids come from that your body needs? And it turns out the only beings on Earth that can make these amino acids are plants. Animals cannot make these essential amino acids because they don't have enough metabolic energy, and these are the amino acids that take the most energy to make. So plants make these amino acids, and then they get into animals either when the animal eats the plant or when the animal eats an animal that ate the plant. But regardless of how they do it, when you look at animal protein, all animal protein is recycled plant protein, because that's where the essential amino acids come from. So, you know, when you're eating a variety of whole plant foods, as I mentioned before, the vegetables, the fruits, the beans, the potatoes, the nuts and seeds and whole grains, these are plants that are actually made from exactly the same amino acids you and I are, and therefore that's where you're going to get them from. Really, people only need to get about 5% of their calories from protein. And on any kind of whole food plant-based diet, you're going to be getting at least 10% of your calories from protein. So you don't really have to worry about a deficiency. I mean, the thing you need protein for is to fuel growth. And even when you look at infants, which is obviously the time in life we're growing fastest, human breast milk only gets 5 to 8% of its calories from protein. And that's during the time of life when, you know, humans are growing the fastest.
Then if I can't have cow's milk, where do I get calcium?
Well, this is another one of the deprivation myths, and we have to kind of go back to the whole idea of plants are at the base of the food chain. So here's the story. Calcium is a mineral, and it's a mineral just like gold and, you know, zinc and silver and, you know, platinum and titanium and all these things are minerals. They're basically rocks. It comes from the soil. So you have the calcium, which is actually a way more common mineral than gold, and it gets dissolved in the soil when it rains or river runs through it or whatever. And then the plants need calcium for their metabolism. A plant cannot survive without calcium because it's a central part of how it lives. So the plants absorb calcium from the soil, and it becomes an integral part of the plant cells. Then the animal eats the plant, and it gets the calcium. And humans can absorb them from plant foods as well as cows can. The best plant sources are dark green leafy vegetables, things like, you know, kale, spinach, broccoli, bok choy, all those kind of things. But even if you didn't eat those and you just ate the other plants, you would not have a calcium shortage because your body just holds on to calcium. It doesn't really lose it unless you kind of get into an acidic state and you're excreting it. So you're just going to pretty much be holding on to the calcium you have, and you really don't need that much. The amount of calcium people are recommended to take is way more than they need, and the excess usually ends up getting deposited inside their arteries, and they get brittle arteries that can lead to exacerbation of heart disease. It can lead to aneurysms because the inside of their arteries are so brittle, their arteries aren't flexible anymore. I mean, think of it, calcium is a very brittle mineral. So, you know, most people, again, it's like protein, they're eating way too much and the excess is hurting them.
And what about the omega-3 fatty acids? How would you get those on this diet?
Well, you know, it all goes back to the principle that plants are the base of the food chain. There's only two essential fats that we really need from our diet. There's omega-3s and omega-6s, as you know. The other fats are not even remotely essential. So the omega-6s are in pretty much everything. There's zero chance that you're ever going to be deficient in them if you're eating any kind of normal diet. So then we have to worry about where are we going to get the omega-3s, which are harder to get in domesticated plants. Omega-3s kind of thrive in wild plants, and most of us don't eat that many wild plants, so we have to look at where are we going to get this. Well, the omega-3s are formed only by plants, just as, you know, proteins are, the essential amino acids. So the main source is the algae in the ocean. So the marine algae are out there, and they make these little, you know, the basic omega-3s. And then the way the fish get them is they eat the marine algae. So there's a couple things you can do to get the omega-3. So one that works well, but is not really my favorite for a variety of reasons, is just to eat marine algae supplements. And there's a lot of them out there now that are totally plant-based, and they have the oils directly from the marine algae. So, and they're grown in sterile vats. So they don't go out in the ocean and harvest them because the oceans are so polluted. They actually grow them in, you know, kind of sterile stainless steel vats without all the persistent organic pollutants and so on that are in the ocean. And then they take the oil from the algae, and you can buy them as capsules. And it's basically exactly the same oil as you would get from fish oil because the fish got it from eating the algae in the first place. The other way you can get it, which is kind of my favorite, is to eat ground flax seeds. If you eat 2 tablespoons a day of ground flax seeds, it will cost you about 7 or 8 cents a day. First, also cost is a big advantage. You're getting a ton of fiber, which is obviously an advantage because we all know fiber helps prevent cancer and it's healthy for your digestive system and has a lot of other advantages. It's one of the most high-fiber foods. You're also getting a substance called lignans, which are especially abundant in flax seeds. And the only other really good food source of them are sesame seeds, but the flax seeds are good because they have more omega-3s. And lignans have been shown to be extremely powerful cancer fighters, especially tumor fighters. They're among the most powerful natural substances to fight cancer. So when you get the flaxseed, you're getting not only the omega-3s, you're getting the fiber, you're getting the lignans. It's also a lot of other, you know, because it's a seed, you're getting a lot of other nutrients in there as well. And it's dirt cheap. I mean, 7-8 cents a day. What else can you take that costs that much? It's going to be so healthy for you. So the thing about the flaxseed, you can buy it already ground, or you can just buy them whole, which is obviously a little less expensive, and then grind it yourself in a coffee grinder. Keep it in your refrigerator or in your freezer if you grind more than you need, you know, for a day's supply, because once you grind them, they can become rancid, so you keep them cold. And then you just sprinkle 2 tablespoons a day on your cereal or your oatmeal. You can put on your salad or a wrap or soup or smoothie or really anything, because it's extremely mild flavor. It's not going to overpower the flavor of anything you eat. You can bake with it. There's a lot of things you can do with it. And people will tell you, well, the flax is okay, but it doesn't have the long-chain fatty acids. But here's the thing, Carl. I mean, people survived for millions of years without fish oil supplements, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. Which are all full, even if they've been distilled, they're full of persistent organic pollutants. And there's been studies where people just go and buy them randomly off the shelves of drugstores, and they've been supposedly purified, and then they look at them in a lab, and they're full of persistent organic pollutants, which mm-hmm. we all know are deadly. So mm-hmm. the flaxseed doesn't have that disadvantage, and you know, in terms of the long-chain fatty acids that you need, your body is perfectly capable of making them. We all have several enzymes whose only function in our body is to make the long-chain fatty acids from the short chain. And you might be saying, well, how do I know I have them? And the answer is, you know, if you're alive and breathing, you have these enzymes because mm-hmm. you would have died long ago if you didn't have them. So you can change the short chain into the long chain. The only reason you would have to worry about that is if you're eating a lot of vegetable oils or other oils or animal foods, because all those foods are full of the omega-6s, which are very pro-inflammatory, and they'll use the same enzymes. So you have a limited amount of these enzymes, and if you're eating whole foods, you're going to do fine. But if you're drowning your food in oils or eating animal foods or something, you are going to be having competition for those enzymes, and in that case, you might want to take the marine algae supplements, which, you know, they cost more than the flax seeds, but they're still way better than fish oil.
Mm-hmm. Now, Janice, would you tell us about your book and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Absolutely. I answer all my emails. So the best way to reach me is to go to my site, which is perfectformuladiet.com. Again, perfectformuladiet.com, and go to the contact tab. And you can email me through that tab. I do answer 100% of my emails, so mm-hmm. feel free to do that. There's also a lot of good information on the site that people can get for free in the blog. There's about 100 blogs, which are mostly short essays on whole food plant-based nutrition. My references are on the site in the reference section, and they are mostly published medical journal articles, medical textbooks. There's a lot of information on there about my book, The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with Six Kinds of Whole Foods, which gives a lot more information about how you can be happy and satisfied on whole foods. There's free chapter excerpts. There's some recipes. So, you know, there's a lot of resources people can get without, you know, really even spending any money to learn more about why this is the best way of eating.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Janice. This has been very interesting, and we'll add to the information of the knowledge of the listeners, I know, because it hasn't been discussed earlier. So I appreciate this very much.
Well, I really enjoyed talking with you, Carl, and I'm really glad to bring this information to people.
Thank you. My second guest is Debbie Johnson, a best-selling author of Think Yourself Thin and 5 other books. She is also a success trainer and has worked with sports professionals as well as businesses for 30 years, using a technique she developed called focused imagination. She used this technique to be successful in sales and business, then applied it to her extra 40 pounds, lost it all, and has kept it off for over 25 years. She has appeared on national network television shows such as The Carol and Marilyn Show and The Other Side, and has done hundreds of radio shows. She has also been interviewed for Cosmo, Red Book, Women's World, First for Women, Bottom Line Personal, and more, including a Japanese magazine called Uno. More information is available at www.thinkyourselfthin.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Debbie, and I look forward to hearing how you think yourself thin. First, have you ever been overweight yourself?
Yeah, great question, Carl, because a lot of people wonder who's writing these books.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I have. I was 40 pounds overweight because I gained 40 pounds mm-hmm. dieting. And that may be a surprise to some people. But if you think about it, most people feel guilty because they get off a diet, they start eating normally again, even just eating normally, and maybe they ate one thing they wouldn't normally eat when they came off the diet or two things, and they think that that's why they gained 10 extra pounds, everything back and more,
mm-hmm.
and that's not why. But anyway, yes, I gained 40 pounds dieting, and then I lost it all thinking thin,
mm-hmm.
and I have kept it off over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And Debbie, how did you think yourself then?
Well, I first had to learn to love and accept myself, and this is very important, and I think a lot of people discount this because it is a technique that I developed, and there are several different ways of working with it, and I will share some of those. However, it's most important to get to where we can love and accept ourselves in the sense that we do see the beauty in who we are, whether it's where we're seeing ourselves as soul, the true spiritual being, that beautiful spark of light that we are, or whether we're seeing the beauty in our own eyes, which, of course, they say is a window of the soul,
mm-hmm.
or whether we just see that, you know, we're healthy and strong and fit in some other ways that maybe other people aren't. We can walk and talk and see and hear, but somehow that we begin to be grateful for what we have to start with, which is really very scientific because that's what we're focusing our attention on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about visualization, the law of attraction, imagination, all of those things combined, that's what makes it work. But if people aren't basically neutral or kind of happy in a sense, they're not desperate. If they're desperate, it's not going to work because when we're desperate, we're focusing on fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear will create what we don't want, not what we do want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that is an important foundation. From there, thinking thin is using what I call focused imagination. It's a technique that I developed myself. And I'll tell you how it came through to me,
mm-hmm.
Because it really, I have to give credit to God always and
mm-hmm.
to Spirit. Because I woke up one morning and said, if God wants me this way, so be it. I'm not going to worry about it. Diets aren't working. I'm just going to love and accept myself the way I am. And then the next morning, I woke up with the idea that I could think myself thin. I could use all the success principles that I had used
mm-hmm.
in business and marketing and sales, which was to imagine fully with all of my senses, which I learned in my spiritual teachings that I study, that I could use all of my senses and acting as if, which is another step beyond that, to create what I wanted. And again, there are different ways of doing this depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
But I created what I call a key image for myself. And that key image for me was walking on the beach in a bikini with, you know, in Hawaii, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to go to Hawaii too,
mm-hmm.
so I combined all that. And I had never been there at the time, been there many times since because I imagined it so well. And I felt the sand under my feet. I could smell the salt air. I could hear the waves. And I could see the beautiful turquoise water. And you see, I included all of my senses right there. The only thing I didn't include was taste because you can kind of leave that
mm-hmm.
out with thinking thin because
mm-hmm.
people feel so guilty about what they're eating. And I have a trick for that too. But if you really want to think thin, then the other thing that's very, very important to fuel this image, to make it like a rocket, you know,
mm-hmm.
to just blast through any blocks, is to use your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So positive, good, strong, positive emotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Feeling great, you know, good about yourself, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Includes the emotion. But anyway, my book title is Think Yourself Thin,
mm-hmm.
which is now an ebook and it's also a new Kindle. And you can get the information in there as to, you know, how often you need to do this, how long you need to do this, and that sort of thing. How long it took
mm-hmm.
me, other people, their stories, you know, and different ways of doing this as well.
Mm-hmm. What would be your best advice for someone to start now?
That would be, like I said, loving yourself and then creating a key image.
Mm-hmm. And have you had testimonies from other people that have used this process?
Yes, I can tell you, I've had quite a few people write to me, probably
mm-hmm.
dozens, and
mm-hmm.
tell me how it worked. One woman who'd lost 80 pounds thinking thin. She couldn't lose any weight on diets. I'm going to read a couple to you from the book that
mm-hmm.
I wrote in the book just to inspire people to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
one woman just said, it really works. It really does work. I was simply amazed at the results I got right away.
Mm-hmm.
She's an office manager from Minneapolis. Another woman who, she said, I'm familiar with visualization, et cetera. However, your key image has put a different spin on it all and brought everything together for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing weight and loving myself more.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important piece. One of the things that I mention to people in my workshops is if your best friend hasn't seen you for a long time, maybe you live in different states or something, you run up to each other, you hug each other, you look in each other's eyes, and you say, I am so happy to see you. You don't say, I am so happy to see your body, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we really love someone, we see what's within. We see each other as soul. And that's really the most important thing to me, is operating from that viewpoint within ourselves and then seeing that as much as we can within other people.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than, and that's something that I mention to people too, rather than using what I call the F word, fat,
mm-hmm.
seeing people as soul and trying
mm-hmm.
to see that soul in there, and they may be struggling with some issues, they may be having to carry a heavy burden, and they may be protecting themselves. There are
mm-hmm.
psychological reasons people retain weight, which I talk about in my book and how to resolve those.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to keep doing the mental exercises in order to keep the weight off?
Yes, I didn't have to actually do the exercises so much as just maintaining that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I thought I was gaining a little weight for some reason, or maybe I was bloated and I just said, well, you know, this is just temporary. I am thin and healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, add the healthy part is important too, and all of that. And now I don't have to think about it at all, because now I am the thin person, so
mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about it, because I have really gotten it into my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that does take a certain amount of time.
Right, right.
So that takes a little bit of discipline, but you can eat whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do is discipline your thoughts. That's the amazing thing. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted.
Oh, so you don't have to watch what you eat necessarily once you've
not at all
mastered
the process. But I do automatically. That's the amazing thing. I automatically eat healthy. I eat healthier and healthier all the time,
mm-hmm.
because that image is programmed into my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. You're really programming your own
right.
key image into your subconscious. So you're reprogramming it for success in health and weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not always perfect. You know, our bodies aren't necessarily going to be perfect in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And different, you know, I'm thinking myself young too, but you know, things change. At the same time, I learned to love the changes and say, well, you know, it's not so bad. And,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, for my age, I'm doing really well.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right. Once you started this process, Debbie, how long did it mm-hmm. take for you to see results?
Well, it's really different for everyone, and I expect it to be faster for the people that are doing it now, because I developed these techniques, you know, just trying it for myself. It took me 2 years, but I have people
mm-hmm.
that get results right away within
oh.
a couple of weeks. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're losing weight. And I probably was, too. It's just it was very slow. I had 40 pounds, and I really wanted to keep it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my body just did it the way it needed to maintain.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I have maintained it. I have never gained
mm-hmm.
it back.
Now, Debbie, would you tell us then about your books and how the listeners can locate these and how they can reach you, and if you have services and products in addition?
Yes, definitely. I have other books, too, that you might be interested in, of a different genre, as well as other Think Yourself books. If you want more love in your life, Think Yourself Loved, and Think Yourself Young, which is actually a free bonus ebook with the Think Yourself Thin ebook. And Think Yourself There, also, to how to make anything, any of your dreams come true. And also a gluten-free, diabetic-friendly, low-glycemic cookbook,
mm-hmm.
which is called Fun with GFLG Food. It's also allergy-friendly. And for people that have special needs, and I know you have so many people listening to your show that
mm-hmm.
might have special dietary needs, and that's rich, delicious, yummy food that anyone can eat pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can find all of that at djsuccesstraining.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's D for Debbie and J for Johnson, djsuccesstraining.com. And I'll give you my toll-free number, too, if there's any problem with that. It's 800-600 3483.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Debbie. It's been very interesting, and I may need to do a little thinking myself, because as you get older, you tend to put a little bit on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not much, but I could take off a few pounds, so I'll be thinking about it.
Well, that's great, Carl, and I appreciate you having me on. I'm honored to be one of your guests.
Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate it. And now a word about a distinctive style magazine at http://adistinctivestyle.com. The current issue pays tribute to women who are making a difference daily, especially the baby boomers. This issue salutes actress, trendsetter, and activist Diane Keaton, who graces the cover with, what else? Her traditional fedora. Diane's family life was pretty traditional, but her mother kept a series of journals for years, says Denise Marie, the publisher. These journals provided Diane with a deeper glimpse into her mother's life. Sadly, Keaton's mother was later diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and it was a difficult time for Diane, says Marie, who includes information in the magazine about the National Alzheimer's Association. Diane reminds readers that they are not alone in the personal fight against Alzheimer's. She's been there, we are all affected, and we can all lean on and learn from each other. The winter issue also features an in-depth interview with actress, fitness enthusiast, and go-getter Jane Fonda. Fonda, 73, who is still going strong. She's not only a role model for other women, but she maintains a busy, self-fulfilling schedule of fitness, friends, family, and performing. Her energy is contagious, says Marie. Over 60 supermodel Cindy Joseph is also highlighted in the current issue. Proud of her long, wavy gray hair, Joseph was discovered by a model scout at age 49, appearing in national print ads and magazine covers. A former celebrity makeup artist, Joseph recently launched her own cosmetic line, affectionately called Boom by Cindy Joseph. Joseph, who enjoys traveling, working out, and of course laughing, says, I'm happy that modeling at my age has opened people's minds to more possibilities in their lives. In the winter 2012 issue, readers can also find green skin care products, interactive videos, music, and more. Other profiles include Sarah Snow, a green activist who dishes advice on Discovery Network shows, Alessandra Rain, a radio talk show host and prescription drug expert who explores the meaning of aging gracefully, and quotes and personal anecdotes from women around the world who discuss what motivates them to succeed and how they live regret-free. You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style, available at http://adistinctivestyle.com. My third guest is Trudy Scott, a food mood expert and nutritionist, speaker and author of the Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, How the Food You Eat Can Help You Calm Your Anxious Mind, Improve Your Mood, and End Craving, published June 2011. Trudy has a nutritional practice with a focus on food, mood, and women's health. She is president of the National Association of Nutritional Professionals and is a member of Alliance for Addiction Solutions and Anxiety Disorders Association of America. Trudy published an electronic newsletter entitled Food, Mood, and Gal Stuff, available at www.everywomanover29.com and www.antianxietyfoodsolution.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Trudy, and I look forward to hearing about nutrition for anxiety. Now, first, why do you work with people with anxiety?
Well, the big reason that I do this is because of my own story and my own issues that I had with anxiety and panic attacks. I clearly remember my first panic attack where I had the racing heart, the pounding, the clammy skin, and I really thought I was going to die. It was really, really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the amazing healing power of food and nutrients to completely eliminate my anxiety. And now I have no anxiety. I don't have any panic attacks. And I travel around the country speaking to big groups. So
mm-hmm.
I've seen how powerful using food and nutrients can be for, you know, eliminating something like anxiety and panic attacks. And
mm-hmm.
it just makes me passionate to want to be able to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And stress and anxiety are really a part of everyday life. So why do people do something about it?
Well, the first thing is we don't want to tolerate how we feel. So many of us just tolerate not feeling the greatest. We tolerate feeling a little bit sad. We might tolerate feeling stressed and anxious. But, you know, we should really be thinking about feeling our absolute best. And, you know, I just always encourage my clients to know that they can feel on top of the world all the time. We don't have to tolerate not feeling our best. And when you start to make changes, you can just feel absolutely wonderful all the time. We don't want to think that this is just a factor of old age and that there's nothing we can do about it, because we really can.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, we also want to take it really seriously, because panic and anxiety can actually have an impact on the heart. There's
mm-hmm.
some recent research that shows a correlation between an increased risk of heart disease and anxiety and panic attacks. So panic and anxiety puts a big stress on the body and a stress on the heart. So we should do something about it when we are feeling like this.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Trudy, what are the three biggest food-related factors that you see that contribute to feeling stressed and anxiety?
There are a lot of foods that can have an impact. And before I talk about the three biggest foods,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say that we are all biochemically unique. We all have our own biochemistry. So, you know, different people are affected by different things and also to different levels. But sugar is a huge factor for most people.
Mm-hmm.
It depletes us of nutrients like zinc and magnesium. And these are, you know, nutrients that are really important to help us keep calm. It contributes to blood sugar swings. So when you have these swings where you will get a surge of energy and then you'll get a dip in your blood sugar, that can look exactly like anxiety. You'll feel anxious, you might feel irritable, you can be tired, and then you're going to go for more sugar. So it just becomes a vicious cycle where you're eating more sugar, you are getting more anxious, and it's affecting other areas. You know, it's affecting
mm-hmm.
Levels
mm-hmm.
of obesity, heart disease, you know, so many other factors. So sugar is a huge, huge thing for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is caffeine. And no one likes to hear this. When I talk about caffeine in my talks, everyone just says, oh, you know, I couldn't give that up. People who are super healthy wouldn't even consider drinking soda or eating candies, hold on to their caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So we self-medicate with coffee and we self-medicate with sugar because we use it to make us feel good. But if you are someone who has anxiety, you really want to think about giving up coffee.
Mm-hmm.
There are a subset of people who are just more prone to the anxiety-producing effects of caffeine, and it can be a tough one to give up. We often have to address the underlying cause of why we need the caffeine. Why are we tired? Why do we need that boost? Is it adrenal fatigue? Is it thyroid problems? Is it food intolerances? Are we just not getting enough sleep? You know,
mm-hmm.
sleep's another
mm-hmm.
big factor that we need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, caffeine is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is gluten. And I work primarily with women with mood problems. And 80% of the women that I work with do better off of gluten. So gluten
mm-hmm.
is found in wheat, rye, barley, and then oats can be contaminated with gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we often think of the connection between gluten and how it affects your digestion. It can cause constipation and diarrhea and gas and bloating. But it can also affect our brains.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful clinician who's written some wonderful books, Carl Pfeiffer. He called them brain allergies. And there's actually so much research connecting gluten with things like social anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and even schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when people get off gluten, it can just make such a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I subscribe to a couple of those. I have not eaten sugar simple sugar in probably 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I eat fruit, but I don't eat simple sugar, and I don't take caffeine.
Great.
I haven't had a soda in probably 10 years, and I don't drink coffee, maybe once every 2 or 3 months, but it's not often. But I do eat bread and pastas. Occasionally, not very often. I eat bread more often than anything else, but I eat an organic oat-based bread.
Okay.
And I don't know if that has gluten in or not, because I don't pay much attention to gluten.
Well, for some people, it can be an issue, because oats are often processed in the same facility as other grain products. So
mm-hmm.
for someone who's very sensitive, the oats can be, you know, contaminated with gluten, and it can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, you know, earlier on, we're all unique. Some people do fine with gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Others don't. I am a big fan of fermented grains. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people do better with having sourdough, because the fermentation process just makes it more digestible.
Mm-hmm.
But the big problem a lot of people have, you know, is the processed foods. If you're eating a lot of processed foods, you're going to be getting gluten in everything. It's in everything. I mean, you're just getting so much.
Right.
Yeah.
And I avoid that.
First.
Are there other dietary factors that play a role in anxiety and stress?
Absolutely. So as well as what you eat, when you eat is important. So I mentioned sugar and how it affects blood sugar, but having breakfast first thing in the morning is
mm-hmm.
such a big thing. It just sets you up for the rest of the day. So
mm-hmm.
having some protein at breakfast is really, really important. And then eating enough protein, because protein breaks down to amino acids, which are then used to make neurotransmitters. And I'm a big fan of grass-fed red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, quality is really important with the foods that we eat. And grass-fed red meat is, you know, good quality. And it actually has an omega-3 profile similar to oily fish like salmon. And we know how beneficial the omega-3s are in eating salmon and fish is for mental health. But eating grass-fed red meat, you're going to get some of those great omega-3s, which is just great for, you know, anxiety and for feeling stressed.
Mm-hmm. I don't eat beef and rarely eat pork, but I eat chicken.
Okay.
And again, I stay with organic.
Great.
So maybe I'm doing something right.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, eggs are wonderful. So if you're getting
mm-hmm.
Eggs from organic chickens or pastured chickens,
mm-hmm.
you're getting a wonderful, wonderful source of protein. So
mm-hmm.
that protein is so great. And then when you have it is important. So having some at breakfast, having it throughout the day, which will keep your blood sugar levels stable,
mm-hmm.
and then just have you feeling really great.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is eating real whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
So just going back to eating like our grandparents ate
mm-hmm.
instead of eating all these processed foods, and eating quality foods. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, good quality, variety, organic, all the colors of the rainbow, plenty of vegetables, fruit limited to, you know, how much exercise you're doing. Because sugar, you know, fruit does contain sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be eating 10 or 20 fruits a day, but fruit is great. It's got the fiber. It's got all the antioxidants. So just eating real, whole, good quality food is just so important. The good
mm-hmm.
fats are really important as well. Olive oil, avocado, coconut. There's just so many wonderful, nourishing nutrients that you can get from real, whole food.
Mm-hmm. Now, Trudy, what nutrients are helpful with anxiety and stress?
So all the wonderful synergistic components from the real foods that I just mentioned, but there are some nutrients that are specifically helpful. Zinc is a key nutrient with anxiety. When you've got low zinc levels, you can have high copper levels, and that can make you more anxious. So I find a lot of people do well with extra zinc. You can do a liquid zinc taste test, which can give you an indication of what your zinc status is, and that can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are individual amino acids, which can actually help while you are trying to figure out what some of the issues are. So GABA is an amazing amino acid, gamma aminobutyric acid. You can take it as a supplement, and you will get effects, you know, within 2 days, which will help you feel calm and just, you know, make you feel really great. The
mm-hmm.
other amino acid, which is fabulous, is tryptophan. We often think of tryptophan for raising serotonin levels for depression, But certain kinds of anxiety can actually be as a result of low serotonin as well.
Mm-hmm.
And tryptophan taken in a supplement form is fabulous for anxiety, the kind of anxiety that's in your head where you've got ruminating thoughts, where you can't switch off, and as well as helping with that anxiety, it helps with depression, it helps with negative self-talk, it helps with sleep problems, and then also sugar cravings. So when you're having anxiety issues and depression issues, you often have these sugar cravings because you want to use foods for comfort, you want to use foods to help you de-stress. And these individual amino acids are amazing because they will work, you know, within 1 or 2 days, mm-hmm. and you will see huge improvements.
Mm-hmm. Now, Trudy, will you tell us then about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you and locate those?
So I do one-on-one consulting with helping people with mood problems and sugar cravings. And I have a website, everywomanover29.com. And I also wrote a book that was published in June last year, The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, How to Use the Foods You Eat to Calm Your Anxious Mind, Improve Your Mood, and End Cravings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's available on Amazon, in bookstores, and via my website, AntianxietyFoodSolution.com. And then I also have a newsletter, so if folks want to sign up on either of those websites, they'll be on my newsletter list, they'll get great tips, they can read my blog, and they'll hear about workshops that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, this is interesting and helpful information for the listeners and for me, and I appreciate it very much, Trudy.
Thanks very much for having me.
And thank you. My last guest is Susan Schenck, a raw food coach, lecturer, and author of the 2-time award-winning book, The Life Food Factor, The Comprehensive Guide to the Ultimate Diet for Body, Mind, and Spirit, as well as Beyond Broccoli, Creating a Biological Balanced Diet When a Vegetarian Diet Doesn't Work. Go to www.livefoodfactor.com. to get the first chapter of her book by signing up for her newsletter. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Susan, and I look forward to hearing about vegan diets. What are some advantages of a high raw diet?
Well, there are at least 10 advantages. The first one is super health. People have reversed all kinds of diseases on a 100% raw diet. And studies have shown that if you are eating 80% or more of your calories raw, then you can avoid all the diseases of civilization like cancer, heart disease, arthritis, multiple sclerosis. All these diseases are avoided because you're eating, you know, raw organic food. And by raw, I mean 118 degrees or less. Once you get to 118, you destroy the enzymes. But that's not all. It's not just about physical health. Mental health also improves. People report getting a sharper mind, more positive thinking, better imagination, better meditations, better creativity, visualization, and people actually become more open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And people have reversed on this diet. Depression, paranoia, manic depression, schizophrenia. I even have a testimonial where a woman stopped sleepwalking, mm-hmm. which she had done all her life.
Mm-hmm.
And a third one is weight loss and beauty. You know, see, it's the secret of a lot of stars like Demi Moore, Carol Alt, a supermodel Carol Alt. You get really smooth skin, cellulite vanishes completely. Your eyes sparkle. You have the raw glow. You also become happier and sometimes euphoric, especially as you add in more greens, because greens alkalize us, and that's what we really need. We need to be alkaline to avoid cancer and other diseases. Alkalinity also makes you a lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a spiritual benefit. Entire books have been written about this. It actually switches you on. It decalcifies the pineal gland, which has been really shut down because of all the fluoride and cooked food and toxins in our environment. And then also, you can save money because you're going to either reduce or eliminate animal food products.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we know, meat is one of the most expensive things. Another advantage that comes as a surprise is the eating pleasure is actually better, because what happens, Carl, when you cook that food? All the flavor goes out into the air, and that's why you can smell the cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with raw food, you don't smell it unless you get right up in front of it, because the flavor stays in the food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then another advantage is that you live longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like animals in the wild live 7 times their maturation rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you consider that the human being matures at about age 20, we should be living 20 times 7, 140 years.
Mm-hmm.
We really should. So you live longer, and not just longer, but better. Because
okay.
Who wants to live long if you're weak
right.
and feeble
right.
and sick, you know? But you live better, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do vegan or vegetarian diets work for everyone?
I used to think so. And when I was a vegan for 6 years, I was 99.99% raw vegan. I started getting lots of deficiencies. I'm not going to say this applies to everybody, because I have in my book, The Live Food Factor, testimonials from people who've been raw vegans for 30 years, and they are in supreme health. But we're all unique. We all have unique genes, unique biochemistry, and what I have observed and what I experience in my own body is that I do much better with some eggs and a little bit of fish, chicken, beef, a little meat, not
mm-hmm.
much. 4 ounces
mm-hmm.
a day is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the average American that eats 9 ounces a day. And plus, I believe in eating the non-factory farmed animals,
mm-hmm.
the ones that aren't polluted with eating GMOs, eating improper food like grains for cows instead of grass, the free-range, grass-fed, organic-fed animals.
Right.
Those are the ones. Now, you're going to pay a lot more, but remember, you're not even going to eat half as much, so it comes out even. But I found that on the vegan diet, I was very deficient in B12 and DHA and EPA, all of those needed by the brain and nervous system. And, Carl, I'll tell you, I got to the point where I would walk in the room and forget why I walked there.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to forget my husband's cell phone number, which I never hit the redial button or I never
mm-hmm.
installed the automatic dials or anything. So it was pretty pathetic. There was even a moment where his name was on the tip of my tongue. And that's when I knew I was really in trouble. I couldn't focus, couldn't remember people's emails, and I sought help with Dr. Bass, who lives in New York City. And he had experimented with every kind of vegetarian and vegan diet you can imagine, and he did all these experiments on mice, and he concluded that it's a very dangerous and risky diet, the
mm-hmm.
vegan diet, and even the vegetarian diet for a
mm-hmm.
lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Right.
We're not meant to be eating all these grains and soy.
Right.
It's toxic stuff for our body.
What food should be avoided at all costs?
Well, Carl, we did not evolve eating grains, and we don't really need them. But the worst grain of all are the glutinous grains. Almost everybody is gluten sensitive to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, especially wheat. Wheat is really, really bad, especially in the United States. It has been so hybrid over the last 100 years, so processed, that the body doesn't even recognize it as food. And when I gave up wheat, I noticed a dramatic change in my life just by giving up wheat. Wheat was constipating me. It was giving me brain fog. And in some people, the brain fog is so extreme that it actually causes schizophrenia. My husband's grandfather was in a mental institution. And once he realized that it was the wheat, he got out of the institution.
Hmm.
That's what was making him crazy. There's so many poor people that are being drugged for schizophrenia when all they need to do is give up wheat. So it's just too denatured. The body can't handle it. And also it causes constipation in a lot of people. You know, when you go out and have a pizza. The second thing, speaking of pizza, is dairy. So pizza is a double whammy because you've got wheat and dairy. And most people just don't have the enzymes to digest it. They don't make lactase anymore after the age of 3. And there are a few people, though, with Northern European ancestry that can handle dairy, especially raw dairy that still has the enzymes in it to help digest it. But most people get constipation, children get earaches, people get runny noses, all from, you know, the phlegm and mucus and everything, all from the dairy.
especially
these have to be people who have some sort of an allergy, because a lot of people drink milk, a lot of people eat cheese.
Yes.
And I've not heard of wheat causing mental illnesses, so there has to be something more than the wheat itself. And I try to keep up pretty much with the literature.
There, Gabriel Cousins, a raw food doctor, actually witnessed somebody getting shot up with a wheat extract, and she's, this normal person went into a psychotic episode from the extract of the wheat. So, yeah, just the wheat alone can cause this disturbance in some people. For me, it was a mild schizophrenia, a functional schizophrenia where I had brain fog. I was just not grounded. I was spaced out all the time. But wheat and dairy. Now, if you have to do dairy, get goat's dairy. That's more like human milk. Easier for a lot of people to digest. But some people can't even do that. And then the next one, we all know, sugar. Very highly refined, addictive, like cocaine, causes attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder in kids, blood sugar swings, mood swings. Instead of sugar, I use yakan root syrup. It's very expensive, but just use a little bit of that or stevia. They have no effect whatsoever on the blood sugar. None.
What are some of the studies in your book, The Live Food Factor, which supports the idea that eating raw is superior?
Well, my favorite study, Carl, is the one where these three groups of mice are put in an experiment. One group eats the standard American SAD diet, and when they get to be a equivalent of age 80, they're dissected and they're horribly diseased. The second group was given a raw food diet, and they were healthy right up until they died. They were in extreme health. They died of old age very suddenly. Then the third group, they were given the SAD diet, and when they were middle-aged, they were fasted on water and switched to the raw food diet. These ones were able to be just as healthy as the ones that were always raw, which is great hope because it shows that our body can repair and rejuvenate. It's excellent hope for all of us.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. Now tell us where people can locate your book. In fact, I think you have two books.
Yes, Beyond Broccoli and Live Food Factor. They're both available at Amazon, or you can go to any bookstore and request them.
Now, do you have a website, and also do you have services that you provide?
I do raw food coaching, and you can go to my website, sign up for the newsletter, get the first chapter free, livefoodfactor.com.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Susan. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to those people that want a raw food diet.
Great. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Susan.
It's been a pleasure.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.